This is Pure Decking for Thursday, whatever day it is. I don't really know anymore. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like our current cyberpunk world, information security, and, I don't know, not really giving a fuck, getting drunk. I'm Morps. Tonight I'm drinking, trying Jim Beam, what's it called? It's the 100 proof stuff. It's not Devil's Cut, but I don't think it's as good as Devil's Cut. But it's 100 proof, and I can't remember. They had a name on it. But I've got, like, 3 more shots of it in my glass, so we're going to drink it. Where am I on the intro? People, Syntax, what are you drinking?
I have a large cup of coffee with espresso in it and Newcastle, because it's almost like a speedball.
That's an interesting combination. I actually bought a backpacking espresso maker, thinking I would really like it on the camp trail, and I got it, and it's really small, which at first is like awesome. Then you realize it makes about a shot of espresso, and that doesn't really work all that well on backpacking. So I got to figure out what I'm gonna do with that. Madman, you're the only other one here. What are you drinking?
New Belgium's Voodoo Ranger IPA.
Interesting. Is it an IPA?
Yes. I'm getting to the last of my variety box. I think I'm going to just narrow it down to next time grabbing bottles of the shit I want rather than, oh, let's get a box with all of your crap in it and see what tastes like shit.
The way those work.
I'm in the liquor store today. I almost bought a mead until I saw it was really just honey wine, so I don't know.
I'm closing some down because I can.
Because you can. That's always good. And
because fuck work for a little bit.
No shit, right? I'm absolutely exhausted. I don't know about you assholes. I mean, management finally takes an interest in what I do, and now they want it all cut up at once, you know, as opposed to the no I've been hearing for 2 years. Anyways, fuck.
You want it secured all at once, sir? One moment. Let me find the internet cable and unplug it.
Oh, no, I know where that is. That's easy.
Wow, we're now secure. If you want to properly do it, we're going to need a couple more people and some time.
No, they locked that door at my recommendation, so I'd have to break the door down first, but, turns out it was unlocked, and you could get to it from the public side of the building if you knew what you were doing without ever needing a key or a badge or getting challenged, because, fuck, it was easy. I just for fun, I snuck in. I think Madman accidentally hit Alt F4.
Oh, womp womp. So, but a brick can get you in a lot of places.
No, brick wouldn't work in this instance. It's not a glass. It's not a glass door. But I checked. You could sneak in the maintenance garage, and by check, I mean I did this. You could sneak in the maintenance garage, go up the maintenance elevator, go out the rear exit of the maintenance elevator so that you never hit the lobby where, you know, employees are, and go into this little side closet, and there was our internet connection. So, you know, a couple of fiber lines coming out of the wall and a random Ethernet jack, which I never did figure out what that went to because nobody could tell me, and I was... I thought about hooking a laptop up to it just to see, but it's one of those things where it's like, if it's actually a management port, I might, accidentally pull an IP and, like, you know, get $1 million bill or some bullshit, because you know how corporate ISPs can be, especially if you start, you know, putting extra things on the wrong side of the switch, or router, I should say. But, I've seen electrical equipment hooked up to Cat5 jacks like that before, and may or may not have fried a netbook trying to hook it up to an HVAC system to see what that Ethernet port was. So, and since I didn't have somebody else's laptop handy to test the port on, I never did. So yeah, I know where the internet connection is. I know where to go cut it to secure the company, but it may not end well.
Why the hell would you make a vacuum cleaner power source look like a network cable connection?
vacuum cleaner. I was thinking about the air conditioner, madman.
Oh, never mind.
Although, given the time of year, it's probably more the heater. It was the thermostat network.
Is it an actual network, or is it just PoE?
It's PoE.
Okay.
Because I've seen things that are just machine.
PoE. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't like a real Ethernet port. It just happened to use a Cat5 jack.
Mm-hmm.
So it was some serial connection, but it put voltage on the wrong pins and broke something. So,
oof.
Anyways.
Yeah. Oh, that's always fun.
It's like, it looks like RJ45. Thank you, Psychros. You're correct. Yeah, Cat5 is the cable classification. You'd think I'd know that shit after this all this time, right? Oh, let's do the real nerd test. Green, white, green, orange, white, blue, blue, white, orange, brown, white, brown, right? So I guess we should actually, yeah, you know, move into
the
show.
But the question is, what type is that? Is it type 1 or type 2?
Green, white, green? I think it's type 2. Type 1 starts with orange, white, orange.
Yeah.
So.
And then what's really fun is, oh shit, what is, hold on. 1 second. Where did that go? It's in my desk somewhere.
He's looking it up. That's cheating. Are you gonna make a crossover cable, or you got some other? I've seen straight through cables that work just fine. As long as it's just, honestly, as long as it's the same on both sides, it really doesn't matter.
Oh, there it is. I dropped my headset for a second.
Looking it up is cheating. But really, a straight through cable, if you're just making a patch cable, it doesn't matter as long as, well, if you're over a certain length, the attenuation and the twisted pairs actually matter. But like, if you know, 10-foot cable or whatever, you could wire it straight through. It doesn't matter. It'll work.
So the super nerd test is, which one is black, brown, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, gray?
Black, brown, red, yellow. That sounds like the serial hookup to a, I think I've hooked up serial connections for key card scanners using something similar to that.
Yeah, it's the Cisco management cable.
Oh, yeah. I got one of those somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit.
One that was supposed to be in my desk. It wasn't. It was sitting on the shelf for some reason. Because I'm that kind of dork that has a managed switch and a Cisco router at home.
I used to help run a lot of LAN parties. So I've got the managed switch floating around somewhere. I think it's in the attic in a plastic tub. And I've probably threw the console cable in there because, honestly, I don't use serial management consoles that much anymore for most of my networking gear. I did have to use a serial console to get into my server once, but that's a different story.
I put mine in my, of course, my apartment complex isn't super happy about it, but I drilled a 3-inch hole in the bottom of one of the cabinets in the kitchen, and because it was just the right length that I could actually mount everything in there.
you put your networking gear in the kitchen? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Until you spill a pot of boiling water or something.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of the upper cabinets. But it was the right size, and it's centrally located in my utilitarian hovel. So it worked out perfect.
That's funny. Oh, you know, I bought a bunch of LAC tables thinking I was going to do the whole LAC switch thing, but I ended up building an enclosure for my 3D printer with it, of all things. So anyways, let's see. So for the opening story, I have an interesting story from The Economist. A new commodity spawns a lucrative, fast-growing industry, prompting antitrust regulators to step in and restrain those who control its flow. A century ago, the resource in question was oil. Now, similar concerns are being raised about the giants that deal in data, the oil of the digital era. The titans are Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Microsoft, and they look unstoppable. They are the five most valuable listed firms in the world. Their profits are surging. Collectively rack up over $25 billion in net profit in the first quarter of 2017. Amazon captures half of all dollars spent online in America. Damn, I didn't realize Amazon was that. I mean, I didn't realize it was half of all dollars spent online. That's a lot.
Wow, that is a lot.
I mean, I honestly thought half of dollars spent online was going to be in Angry Birds microtransactions. But, you know, hey. Google and Facebook accounted for almost all the revenue growth in digital advertising in America last year. So, yeah, there are calls to treat them like Standard Oil. Basically, the rest of the article goes on talking about how these companies are basically monopolies and need to be broken up. I don't feel like reading the rest of it. They talk about data being the new oil and the new resource. But they're starting to talk about how if we don't want it dominated, they need to, you know, reboot antitrust. Here's the closing article. Rebooting antitrust for the information age will not be easy. New risks, more data sharing, for instance, could threaten privacy. But if governments don't want a data economy dominated by a few giants, so need action. So they're basically saying we need to break up Google, Microsoft, Apple, Facebook, you know, any major tech company. And on one hand, I honestly hadn't. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know that I would care that much, except I don't think they would break them up upon. I don't think it would work the way they think it would work. Like, if you broke up Microsoft based on its business divisions, you'd get an operating system company, you'd get an office software company, you'd get a couple of different cloud companies, you'd get a gaming company. So, okay. So you wouldn't get five little Microsofts. You get all these little specialty shops that basically interoperate with each other really well. So,
yeah. Well, and the same thing with Amazon. You would get a cloud computing. You would get shopping. You would get a media company.
Yeah.
There's no real way that you can split them the way that they split Standard Oil.
But they broke up AT&T by regions.
Yeah.
And none of these companies operate that way, so I don't know. I mean, you can't split Facebook up by regions because they'd all have to have different domain names. How does that work?
You wouldn't go by going after the company. You would change the ownership of who owns your personal data. Right now, whoever mines it owns it. You would change it to you own your data, and they need your permission to mine.
Well, it's not just data in this instance, though. I mean, they're basically arguing that if we don't break it all up, these companies are going to lock up, you know, the information economy, much like how Standard Oil locked up the oil economy, and, you know, of course, the old school robber barons of the 20s and all that. So,
well, if they lock it up the same way Standard Oil did, I'll be completely fine. Standard Oil locked it up by making kerosene cheaper every year that they produced it. If they can make my internet bill cheaper, which they haven't, I'll be happy.
Oh, shit. So, I don't know. I don't think this is... I mean, the article's got some ideas in it. They're talking about how these companies have raised red flags and privacy protection. And, you know, they have to loosen the grip of providers on online services that they have over the data. But it's weird because, on one hand... You know, yeah, it kind of sucks thinking that Facebook can come in and just mine all this data because you're using their service, but you're using their service. You're giving it to them. So how does that work when you say, well, no, they can't use this. They can't collect this because, you know, antitrust. Does that mean everyone should have access to your data?
It could mean that... they can't sell it without your okay. Right now they're collecting it and just selling
it willy-nilly. They do whatever they want with it.
But if you go with that model, Facebook goes from being free to you're paying to be on Facebook. There's a membership to it.
And that would kill it. It'd be dead. Like overnight.
Yeah. Yeah, it would kill it dead right now. Because no one wants to pay for anything.
Well, that's true. But
I'm going to go with no one wants to pay for something like Facebook.
That's what I'm coming up with, though, is this article. It's like, I'm not a particular fan of the corporate practices of any of these companies, right? I mean, I use Microsoft, I use Google, I have a Facebook account. I don't think the last time I logged in, February. I haven't logged in since February, and that's a record because it was 4 years before that. So,
well, with the exception of really Microsoft in this list, the way Google's getting your information is people are using Google.
Yeah.
There are other search algorithms out there that you can use. Like DuckDuckGo. I don't know. Is Ask Jeeves still out there?
Probably. Let's see. We've all got web browsers in front of us. Let's just see. Is Ask Jeeves or Dogpile still around? Ask Jeeves. Ask Jeeves is now ask.com and still loads.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask.com still loads.
So what about Dogpile? Does Dogpile still load? That's one I haven't tried to pull up in a long time. Dogpile.com still loads. There's a broken image on the front page, but that could be my ad blocker.
These companies just need to do a better job getting their name out there. There's nothing preventing you from being Google as far as their data mining. They're giving out a free service and everyone's using it.
I think it's just that these companies have gotten big and the government's mad that they're not in the game, so now you've got people calling for them to be broken up because they think it's, I don't know, unfair or something.
I haven't seen Dogpile in so long. I'm, you know what? I'm just going to use Dogpile from now on.
I'm kind of disappointed that it doesn't have the picture of the dog on it anymore.
Well,
does it have that sidebar with the dog on it, you know, back in high school?
On mine, it has the image down at the bottom. It is two dogs eating a picnic.
That's kind of disturbing since that dog that website was originally about dog shit. I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't even hide it. It was all about being vulgar on the internet. I mean, come on. Dogpile and I miss my GeoCities page, right? So
when it comes to advertising on little search engines or little networks, they just have to charge little prices.
Well, that's, yeah, probably true. So I don't know. Like I said, I don't really have strong feelings on them splitting these companies up one way or the other, except I don't think it's going to work the way they think it's going to work. Because you can't, you're not going to split Microsoft up, get five little Microsofts, and get competing operating systems and Office software. You're going to split it up, and you're going to end up with one that with different companies that focus on different divisions of the of the original. And it's not going to accomplish anything. You're still going to have, you know, two major operating systems competing with each other, and then Linux in the background for people who know what they're doing. You're going to have, you know, a handful of major search engines. You're still going to have two major phone operating systems. I mean, you're just going to make it confusing for a while until they do what AT&T did and just reconglomerate.
Yum.
So, I don't know. I don't know if
AT&T really reconglomerated or if it just sort of ended. They were broken up with the landline systems.
Mm-hmm.
We still have Bell South and all the other baby bells. It's just no one uses a landline anymore.
And nobody cares.
Yeah. Yeah, hell, I haven't had a landline in a decade.
I haven't had a landline since I moved out of my parents' house. I have never signed up for a landline at any place I've lived since I left. Yeah, I think I technically had a phone number when I owned a house because I had DSL service for about 6 months. So I think I technically had a phone number, but I never actually had phone service. Does that count? I don't know if that counts.
No, I'm going to go with that doesn't count.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm like, I am the same way. Cause I have something very similar. Like, I bet you I have a phone number. Now I need to find out what my phone number is.
You call up, just call up AT&T. What's my phone number? The NSA wouldn't tell me. I know they know it because they're monitoring it, but they wouldn't tell me.
They wouldn't tell me.
And I'm really just trying to get my business cards filled out so I can start that male gigolo bit. Anyways.
Yeah.
Look, it only calls your DSL modem, sir. You can't get a phone call on it.
I used hookers and a sacred cow under an employee's desk today as an example for why somebody might miss alerts. So, you know, whatever.
Oh, everybody loves Hindu ground beef.
You know, I kept making jokes about the hookers under the desk, but the guy I was talking to kept going back to the fact that I included the sacred cow under there. I don't know why he kept going back to the cow, so it's just like, I don't know, maybe he had a fetish or something.
I don't know, either that or he's like, oh, don't put that on me, because there might actually be one.
Could be.
Under his desk.
Well, now I'm thinking of Super Troopers, you know, cow fucker, do you need assistance?
Yes, cows do have more nipples than hookers. It doesn't mean we want to play with them.
Smoke weed every day.
I'm having a conversation with Cycros. Eventually, I'm just going to get a robot voice to cut and paste his statements into.
I have something in Digital Dojo for just that. You will appreciate.
Nice.
So let's move on here, because I don't really know if I want to see these companies split up or not, because I think it's just going to make more hassle.
I don't think it's going to solve their problem, so it's not going to solve their problem, and I don't see where there is a problem to be solved.
But, I mean, yeah, these companies can behave badly, but I mean, Facebook and Google have competitors. Microsoft and Apple compete with each other, although I would like to see some more operating system competition personally. Linux to pick up more speed.
Yeah, I'm like, there's a bunch of Linux drones. It's just no one uses them.
Well, the problem with that competition, I'm not even sure it's the marketplace's fault. I use Microsoft for two reasons. One, games are on it. And two, when you took computing in high school, was it a computing class or was it a Microsoft class?
I brought a Linux Live CD to use. I don't know about you.
With our school, so the schools where I went to high school, for the first couple of years, for the first 2 years, it was all like Microsoft and Dell. But then our school district got a really good deal from Apple, and they switched everything.
So it's still, you're not learning operating systems. You're learning whatever operating system they decide to use. In school, you should learn operating systems. Yep. And that would help break up the monopoly. It wouldn't end it, because you're still going to have, well, I'm doing this, and I can't do this on Linux. Or, I'm doing this, Linux is great for it, but I can't do it on whatever else.
You know what operating system I miss? BASIC. It was straightforward, man. You just turned it on and started typing. Or GeoWorks. That was kind of a neat one, too. A nice paradigm. I think I pissed Cycros. Did I just piss Syntax off? I think I pissed him off. I'm sorry, did you not like the mention of BASIC? I apologize.
No, my connection is iffy.
Okay. It's just like, damn.
Yeah, and fuck your BASIC.
All right, let's move on here. This article's all over the place. I happen to have the one from Bleeping Computer. Let's see. The audio drivers installed on some HP laptops include a feature that could best be described as a keylogger, which records all the user's keystrokes and saves the information to a local file accessible to anybody or a third-party software or malware that knows where to look. Swiss cybersecurity firm Modezo discovered the keylogger on April the 28th and made its findings public today. According to the researchers, the keylogger feature was discovered in the Contextant HD audio driver package version 10.0046 and earlier. This is an audio driver that is pre-installed on HP laptops. One of the files of this audio driver is mictray64.exe. It happens to be installed on System32. This file is registered to start via scheduled task every time the user logs into his computer. According to Modesto researchers, the file monitors all keystrokes made by the user to capture and react to functions such as microphone mute, unmute, keys, and hotkeys. This behavior by itself is not a problem, as many other apps work this way. The problem is that it writes all the keystrokes to a file at user's public microtray.log. This isn't a keylogger. This is an idiot programmer who left the debug function enabled.
So I'm looking at what this affects, and all of these laptops are not ones that HP uses or that they market for personal use. These are all ones they market to for corporate use, for like the Pro Book and the Elite Book. These are things that are used as like mobile workstations.
Yep.
This was on purpose.
If the file doesn't exist or a registry key containing the file's path doesn't exist or was corrupted, the audio driver will pass all keystrokes to a local API named the Output Debug String API. The danger is that malicious software installed on the computer or a person with physical access to the computer can copy the log file and have access to historical keystroke data from where they can extract passwords, chat logs, and anything else you can get from a keylog. Furthermore, the Output Debug String API provides a covert channel for malware to record real-time keystrokes without using native Windows functions, usually under the watchful eye of antivirus software. Modesto researchers said they found the Contextant HD audio driver package pre-installed on 28 HP laptop models. Other hardware that uses this driver may also be affected, but the investigators haven't officially confirmed the issue affects other manufacturers. So they've got, yeah, the HBook, Elite Books, Pro Books, D-Book, the Elite X2s, and Windows 7 through 10. So they've got some information in the article on removing it, but whoops.
Just change where it's reporting to, and it's now a feature for your employer. Help keep track of what your employees are doing on your hardware.
You know, so as somebody
really easy to write a little like rubber ducky script or a little bash bunny script, and either one, you know, I'll force backup this to wherever you really want, or like Madman said, have it sent somewhere else.
So if it was me, I would set up a network share and do some NTFS hotlinking for that particular folder for your workstation. And just have it in real time streamed off somewhere else so that you can say, oh, look, Bill spends all of his day on Reddit and Samantha spends all of her day. Oh, my God. No.
With sheep.
So, I make that joke. But I've monitored IDSs for a good portion of my professional life. And it's amazing the things people do with work and school computers. You think it's a botnet, you get looking, it's really just an IRC chat running on an odd port because, Justin.tv used IRC as the backend for its chat channels, and oh dear God, they're having cyber sex and apparently talking about goats. So the question for the viewer, or the listeners, I should say, because I don't have a camera, I don't know about you guys, so viewers is not the right word. Was I making up the part about goats or the part about Justin TV?
I think they could both exist and even be combined.
So,
I'm going to go with you're not making up anything.
Level 9 cock of the infinite and going after the goat.
How are they supposed to guess it if you're sitting there giving it away? Well, fine, Psychros. If you're watching via the drone outside, I'm taking off my pants. That should scare it away. Anyways, let's see. Next article, I think. Where am I? Earth, I think. Is this Earth? I'm asking the question, where am I? I don't know anymore. I might have had a teleporter accident.
Southern Belize.
That explains a lot. This next article is from ZDNet. Anti-net neutrality spammers are flooding FCC's pages with fake comments. politics aside, this is hilarious. A bot that is thought to be behind the posting of thousands of messages to the FCC's website in an apparent attempt to influence the result of a public solicitation for feedback on net neutrality. Late last month, the FCC chairman Ajit Pai announced his agency's plans to roll back on the Obama-era framework for net neutrality, which rule that internet providers must treat all internet content equally. Since then, the FCC's public comment system has been flooded with a barrage of comments, well over 500,000 responses at the time of writing, in part thanks to comedian John Oliver, who raised the issue on his weekly show on Sunday. He has American Lily comments in favor of keeping the rules. The FCC said that it was hit by multiple cyber attacks shortly after the show aired, designed to bombard the FCC's comment system with a high amount of traffic to our commercial cloud hosts. The FCC, however, offered no evidence of the attacks, and at least one pro-net neutrality group expressed skepticism of the FCC's claims. But a sizable portion of the comments are fake and repeating the same manufactured response, so much so that more than 128,000 identical comments have been posted since the feedback doors were opened, now representing a significant slice of the comments on the FCC's feedback docket. The unprecedented regulatory power the Obama administration imposed on the internet is smothering innovation, damaging the American economy, and obstructing job creation, the comment says. I urge the FCC, or Federal Communication Commission, to end the bureaucratic regulatory overreach of the internet known as Title II and restore the bipartisan light-touch regulatory consensus that enabled the internet to flourish for more than 20 years. Only problem with that comment is it doesn't look real. It looks like something somebody wrote. And, you know, it's really not that hard to get your bot to vary these comments. You come up with, basically synonyms, and you have your sentence constructed in parts so that it kind of randomly selects, you know, you have a list of four, you know, parts of the first part of the sentence that all basically say the same thing. They're using different words and they're phrased differently, but, you know, it's all saying the same thing, and that way you can kind of randomize it and chop it up, and you get, you know, a couple hundred different variations on the comment posted throughout there, as opposed to, you know, the one. The comments follow the same pattern. The bot appears to cycle through names in an alphabetical order, leaving person's name, postal address, and zip code. So they trolled. God, how many databases are there you could get this shit from now? I'm thinking people, but or PIPL. But, fuck, you control Pastebin and probably get half this shit. We reached out to 24 people by phone, and we left voicemails when nobody picked up. A couple of people late Tuesday called back and confirmed that they had not left any messages at the FCC's website. One of the returning callers specifically said they didn't know what net neutrality was. A third person reached in a Facebook message Tuesday. They're reaching out to people via Facebook message from the FCC? Really? That does not... If you don't already have a Facebook account, other people can make one for you. There's no verification that you're you.
Well, and not only, I mean, who says that you don't have to have one in order for someone to make a Facebook page for you?
That's my point. Is like, I mean, it's not that hard to make a fake Facebook account, right? I mean, I wouldn't know. Not that I've done it a couple hundred times to fuck with people, but that's not the point.
Yeah, it's not the point is who says that it's the real person, not have you made fake Facebook accounts.
Right. You know, I mean, I wouldn't know about this kind of thing. None of us would know about making, you know, Madman especially would not know about pretending to be a 13-year-old girl on Facebook to try to hunt pedophiles. I mean, just
no.
Something he would not know about.
I would never do that. I also don't have a blood-coated baseball bat.
I never said you had a blood-coated baseball bat. We all agree that that blood-coated baseball bat in the corner of your living room does not exist.
Yep.
Movie prop.
We agreed to that.
We agreed
to it. It's a movie prop.
It's not there. We came to a scientific consensus that that baseball bat was, in fact, a weather balloon.
And that was raspberry syrup on the weather balloon.
And those vacuum cleaners in the back of your car were totally vacuum cleaners. Again, yep. We all agreed on it. Therefore, we had a scientific consensus.
Yep.
Because but we took some of these sounding of the repetitive. Whenever you do get a bunch of people together to chant mantras at the government, they're repetitive.
So, the problem here is that they're identical. It's not natural language. Yeah, the bot is most likely automating filling in comments through the FCC's public comment system API, which allows anyone with a free-to-obtain API key to automatically submit comments. You put out an API and you're surprised you're getting automation? Really? Fuck. We don't know where the bot got its names and addresses, but we suspect it may be from public voter registration records or an older data breach. Again, trolling for those things is not hard. Pastebin, people, Google. I mean, hell.
If it's just names and phone numbers, yellowpages.com.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So, they don't know who's behind the bot. Basically, okay. So, here's the thing. When you do botting poorly on public comment systems like this, what you end up doing is discrediting the side you're trying to endorse. Go ahead.
Ooh, let's go full tinfoil hat. What if it's the other side doing this?
Go ahead, Syntax.
Oh, yeah, that could be it.
Oh, I have nothing. I don't even remember. Oh. It was something about scraping. Oh, no, I remember. They are doing one thing right. At least kind of right. So, back in the day, I remember a People's Person of the Year that they're voting that got botted. That's because that's now the official term of what's happening. And the reason why it got found out is because more people voted than there were people alive on the planet.
Whoops.
So at least they're getting a little more sophisticated with their botting.
You're underestimating all those starving Ethiopian children and their cell phones.
That's true.
Oh, you're right. It's a EULA violation. No one would do this.
Yeah. But at least there wasn't 14 billion comments.
14 billion people who don't exist said, we've been borrowing citizens from other dimensions. It's fine. It's totally fine. We raided the graveyards and got these people to vote Democrat. And it's fine. It's totally fine. And
they were registered. We found their registration cards.
Oh. I'm sure Republicans cheat on the votes too, but it's more fun to make fun of the Democrats because they've gotten caught in doing it a couple of times. Chicago votes, I believe.
The Republicans are just better at it, I guess.
They don't get caught. They voted via Ouija boards. Thank you, Cyclops. We've got the Ouija board out here, and we're simply going through everyone who's ever died. And what do you know? Le Pen lost. Anyways. Oh, fuck. Yeah, nobody thought she was going to be allowed to win, right?
She got closer than anyone else that ran from that party. I'll give her that. Which means she lost. By less.
Cykros, you said they got caught in 2000. You mean Democrats or Republicans? I'm drunk and making bad jokes, so I don't actually care.
Yeah,
it is probably both. You're probably right. It's probably both. Republicans got caught in 2000? I don't remember it. Bush? Bush got caught? I don't remember Bush getting caught. I know they had all the stuff in Florida, but I thought that was just, you know, Florida didn't know how to run an election. Let's see. Caught but not punished. Oh, okay. Well, maybe. Fuck, I don't know anymore. Everybody cheats. Oh, it was his brother. Oh, you mean Jeb Bush? Well, fuck, I don't know. He could have been. I was saying the presidential election against Gore.
Oh, no, that was just people can't count.
Yeah, Jeb Bush might have cheated. Hell, I don't know. I wasn't paying that much attention. Jeb Bush. I don't think there's a more... I mean, it's like, you know, you look up wet rag in the dictionary, you'll look, picture of Jeb Bush.
Saying he's low energy?
I'm saying he's not entertaining.
Oh, God, that should never be a reason to vote for a politician.
Why not? It wasn't the last election.
Yeah, it worked out pretty well this last time.
I voted on who was entertaining and who agreed with me on gun rights. That's about it. I mean, really.
And honestly, I mean, he's made the news way more entertaining because now the news is more like a WWF cage match than it is a news cycle.
I'm going to have to say thank you. You said WWF, correct? I believe that's what I heard. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, because fuck you and your WWE bullshit and your lawsuit from fucking wildlife people. They shut up, go away.
Well, I mean, what can you say? We have never before had a president who had been slammed to the mat by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes! Elected someone that has been slammed to the mat by Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Oh, man.
We could have gotten the same thing by electing Jesse the Body Ventura.
And you know what? It'd probably be just as entertaining. I mean, that dude went nuts.
And look at Twitter. It's becoming relevant again, right? He's single-handedly saving Twitter.
Did I throw the New York Times link out? I did.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, a couple of times.
Okay, cool. This is from Brisbane, Australia. Fed up with the New York Times. Fed up with the Australian internet speeds that trail in most of the developed world. Morgan Jaffet turned to a more reliable method of data transfer, the postal system. Hundreds of thousands of people from around the world have downloaded Hand of Fate, a video game made by a studio in Brisbane. Defiant Development. But when Defiant worked with an audio designer in Melbourne, more than 1,000 miles away, Mr. Jaffet knew it would be quicker to send a hard drive by road than to upload the files, which would take several days. It's really big file sizes that kill us, said Mr. Jaffet, the company's co-founder and creative director. When we release an update, there's a small bug that can kill us by 3 or 4 days. Australia, a wealthy nation with a widely envied quality of life, lags in one essential area of modern life, its internet speed. 8 years after the country began an unprecedented broadband modernization effort that will cost at least $49 billion Australian dollars, or $36 billion. It's, I'm guessing that's American since they didn't specify. Its average internet speed lags that of the United States, most of Western Europe, Japan, and South Korea. The most recent, it's probably where RU is right now. He's out there, you know, trying to hold up the antenna, stream the fiber himself, and cursing at us. You know, just sitting there yelling at the contractors.
I have testicular cancer.
Now,
oh, well, that's where he is. Never mind.
Now, Australia still has better internet than the particular section of the United States that I live in. But I've also been to third world countries that have better infrastructure than I have right here.
So,
literally.
Apparently, Australia came in at 51, trailing developing economies like Thailand and Kenya. Kenya has better internet than Australia.
Well, I knew the ladyboys were going to have it because that's how they're making their money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, those Taiwanese ladyboys on the internet, they're making their money. They upgraded that quick. Kenya surprises me.
I mean, I may or may not single-handedly be up, you know, propping up their economy.
For many here, slow broadband connections are a source of frustration and inspiration for gallows humor. One parody video ponders what would happen if an American with a passion for Instagram and streaming scandal were to switch places with an Australian resigned to taking bathroom breaks as their show buffers. The problem goes beyond sluggish Netflix streams, slurred Skype calls, businesses complain that slow speeds hobble their effectiveness and add costs. More broadly, Australia risks being left behind at a time when countries like China and India are looking to nurture their own startup cultures to match the Silicon Valley and keep their economies cutting edge. So, blah, 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 internet sucks, internet sucks, internet sucks, years of failed policy. Where's the part where they're sending stupid amounts of money and not getting it fixed, and that's why RU's not on the show tonight? that's not even in the article. Fuck. The whole reason I picked out the article is I thought they were going to talk about how the amount of money they're spending and how it's not actually fixing anything. I mean, RU hasn't had internet for like a week and a half. He managed to make it on once, said hi, and then they like kicked him off again. Like, I'm pretty sure the SAS dragged him out and beat him up for, you know, connecting to the internet for 5 minutes. So...
Oh,
I don't know. Thoughts? That's all I had on that one.
Yeah, Australia's dumb.
Was like 45 billion. How many miles of fiber optic cable can that lay?
Oh, not as much as you think. Fiber line's not the cheap stuff. But the thing is, you know, yeah, Australia's an entire continent, but they really only have to wire up the coasts.
A big chunk of it's unpopulated.
That's what I said. They only have to wire up the coasts. So, that or, you know, start going for some of that the high-speed wireless stuff that's floating around, like the parts of Asia are using.
Oh, yeah. They could import a Japanese model. So, I'm fairly certain they want digital TV, too, so that frees up some more airwaves.
Well, and we all know that wireless is so secure.
Oh, totally secure, you know, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
If I were the never-never. Psychos, I'm pretty sure the radiation would interfere with the fiber line. Anyways. I've been making bad jokes all night, and I'm obviously drunk. It's already 10 o'clock. Shit. That's not paste. That's print. Paste. Stupid terminal emulator. There we go. Next article is from ZDNet. This is hilarious. Is in the chat room. Syntax, I'm sure you've seen this already, but Syntax, have you seen the thing for the Microsoft Defender engine?
Oh, yeah.
Issue? Yeah, okay.
I can explain this ad nauseum.
Oh, yeah.
And so read the article, and then I'll tell you exactly how it works.
Yeah, because I'm been dealing with some of it myself, and I thought it was absolutely fucking hilarious. Microsoft has released a patch rapidly developed to combat a severe zero-day vulnerability they discovered only days ago. Late Monday, the Richmond giant issued a security advisory for CVE 2017-0290. A remote code execution flaw impacting the Windows operating system. The security vulnerability was disclosed over the weekend by Google Project Zero security experts Natalie Silvich and Travis Ormandy. On Twitter, prominent vulnerability hunter Ormandy revealed the existence of a zero-day flaw in Microsoft malware protection engine used by Windows Defender and other security products. The researchers deemed to find a crazy bad bug, which may be the worst Windows remote code execution in flaw in recent memory. I don't know, MS-0867 was still pretty fun. I still find that every once in a while. I know it's worse, because MS-0867, you had to do something. This one, the file just has to make it on the hard drive.
Oh, it doesn't even basically.
I mean, it's just like, it has to get there. Like, you can email it. They don't have to open. They just have to receive it.
Microsoft Defender has to scan it. When it scans it, it automatically runs the code, and you can get you get system level access. One thing that hasn't been really public knowledge is they found this because it's in the wild and been weaponized.
Whoops! You're right. That's not been in the articles.
No.
In fact, Microsoft told Project Zero Team that the Control Flow Guard security feature lowers the risk of compromise on some of the latest platforms. They praised Microsoft for the emergency patch. Microsoft says there have been no reports of the issue being exploited in the wild. System administrators do not need to act, as Microsoft's internal systems will push the engine updates to vulnerable systems. However, the update can also be applied manually for a quicker fix. So you just said it's weaponized. So yeah, everybody go apply it manually. Go download the patch right fucking now. Push out via group policy. Go push out via SCCM. You know, I don't care if you have to mail flash drives to the poor assholes in Australia. Get it out there. Because, like you were saying, the malware engine just has to scan the file. Everyone's email client is configured to scan the messages as they come in. So simply receiving the email is enough to trigger it. Downloading the file without running
it. It doesn't even have to have a file with it.
Getting a website that drops it into your internet cache is enough to trigger this.
Yeah, so right now, the company that I work with, we are now on all of our work machines no longer allowed to look at any email that isn't internal company email. Like, you can't go to Gmail anymore. Like, it's against policy now until we figured out exactly what we're going to do with this. It's real bad. Like, it's real, real bad.
I'm just kind of wondering, my company, you've never been able to receive anything that wasn't a company email.
Well, not all companies are as smart as that, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real bad. And it reminds me, though, of the good old days of, like, Windows 2000, when there were these massive gaping security holes that were all exploitable, and it was like you could just throw a dart at some code and be like, oh, look, that's vulnerable.
That's how bad it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real bad.
Getting cached runs it.
Yes. Anything that would cause your antivirus to scan the file will run it.
Yeah, and people are sending the code in email. In, like, the background of, like, an HTTP enabled, or, an HTTP enabled email, they're putting the code in there. It scans the code, not the actual email, and it runs it.
So, I mean, anything that would cause your antivirus to scan this, getting it in a web page, getting an email, opening up the file, just having the file on your hard drive, not even running it. Just like plugging in a flash drive with the thing on there. Machine's rooted. It's running a system. Period.
Yeah. So, and done.
And done. Yeah. I mean, this is... I mean, you know, it's...
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
There you go. That's it.
And what's hilarious is this is a bug in their security software. This is meant to keep people out. And it's just like, hey, dude, did you bring a case of beer? Fuck. I've got, you know, the game is on the TV. Come right on in. Let's all have a party.
Smoke weed every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's...
I was actually on vacation when this stopped. And because I'm that kind of dork, like, I was on vacation on a big, long motorcycle trip. And I'm laying in bed in this quaint little bed and breakfast, and I open my phone, and that's the first thing that comes up is a couple of the people I follow on Twitter were like, what the actual hell is going on here? And so I follow these links, and I'm like, oh, this is going to make work fun next week. And then I just turn the phone off, and I'm like, I don't even want it. I'm done. I'm done with this.
Yep, because if the phone was on, you'd be getting the phone call saying, yeah, We're going to need you to go ahead and come on in on Sunday. I'm also assuming you work for Lumberg for some reason, but anyways, the last article I have for today from newatlas.com, Wi-Fi holography can be used to spy on entire rooms and buildings. We think of Wi-Fi as primarily bathing our homes and offices in a comfy, invisible blanket of data and internet access. No, no, that's just radiation. I don't think of my Wi-Fi signal as blanket of data and internet access, a comfy blanket of it. Does anybody here think of their Wi-Fi signal as comfy internet blanket?
No, I think of it as an electromagnetic cloud in my house. Kind of like the electricity running through my walls.
A comfy blanket. Yes. Yes, it is. It's a comfy blanket that me and 47 of me and 47 of my friends from around, you know, where I live are all looking at. Because
and
I'm
jizzing
that
too, because
well, yeah.
Wi-Fi is used for porn.
Absolutely it is.
The internet is for porn.
You know, and that's why you have an open Wi-Fi access point, so you can capture everything that all of your neighbors are doing.
I don't want to know what my neighbors are doing. They're people, and people are fucking strange.
So,
yeah, but see, I want the data so that I can be like, so, what have you been doing?
You're really into the ponies there, aren't you, buddy? We think of Wi-Fi as primarily bathing our homes and offices in a comfy, invisible blanket of data and internet access. But just as a blanket can take on the shapes of the bodies it covers, the microwave radiation sent out from a hotspot can be used to generate a three-dimensional image of the surrounding environment and the things and people in it. Researchers at the Technical University of Munich have come up with a process that creates a holographic image of a space from the microwave radiation of a Wi-Fi signal bouncing off people and objects. The scientists say that their method could be used in automated industrial settings to track objects moving through a facility, for example. Yeah, sure, that's what it's going to be for.
They've invented radar. Ladies and gentlemen, they've invented radar.
Yeah, but they did it using your Wi-Fi router. Using this technology, we can generate a three-dimensional image of the space around the Wi-Fi transmitter as if our eyes could see microwave radiation, said Friedman Reinhardt, director of the Emmy Noether Research Group for Quantum Sensors at UT Munich. Friedman Reinhardt, why are you naming your children after D&D characters? Stop it. I can't say these crazy ass names. Or foreign, whatever they are, I don't know. Anyways, we have seen similar approaches to use Wi-Fi to see through walls, even distinguishing human figures on the other side. But performing head counts of people in the open area, But the UT Munich scientists say they've gone through a further step, using Wi-Fi and even cell signals to image an entire space with holographic processing. Reinhard concedes this new ability to use Wi-Fi to essentially spy an entire room and buildings does raise question of privacy. No, really? Because, you know, there hasn't been a theme to technology for the past 15 years. after all, to a certain degree, even encrypted signals transmit an image of their surroundings to the outside world. However, it's rather unlikely that the process will be used to look into foreign bedrooms in the near future. Well, that's a disappointment. Think of the porn you could make with this. For that, you need to go around the building with a large antenna and would hardly go unnoticed. Again, think of the porn man. You know what? So they figured out a method by, you know, using big antennas to map Wi-Fi in a room and kind of get an idea of what all's in there. So, I don't know. Thoughts?
Stick the antenna in a van and just drive around the building. You can case it a lot easier for your bank heist later on.
So I've definitely seen this before in every single cyberpunk kind of movie ever.
Yeah, It's a fun concept, and I don't doubt that it works, but I'm betting this is a very controlled laboratory experiment. You know what I mean? Like, you get it out in the real world where you've got multiple Wi-Fi signals, you've got all kinds of crap going around. It's probably not going to work.
They're using a Wi-Fi,
well.
Or they're using a tinfoil cross. So of course it can't be in a lab. This is precise, like in the wild. No, this has got to be working fine.
Go ahead, man.
I'm just going with they invented crappy radar using household appliances. I mean, it's great because the shit's already on in your house, but it's effectively crappy radar.
All right, let's do this. Button, where's the? Two items for you in Digital Dojo tonight. First one is an article on G-Hacks from a little bit earlier this week. Audiobook Maker is a free program for Microsoft Windows devices that enables you to turn books into audiobooks using text-to-speech engines. There are situations where audiobooks can be quite useful. Say you want to go for a walk or a jog, take a nap, or in another situation where you cannot read comfortably or at all, or don't want to. Audiobooks come to the rescue thanks to their hands-free and eyes-closed-if-you-want approach. The web is a large repository for audiobooks, from free ones offered on sites like Project Gutenberg and the Colibri Audio Library to commercial services such as Audible. Audiobook Maker lets you create audiobooks from text files or text you want to copy and add to the program. The application supports plain text, and you may import Word or HTML files. You can also create a new document, add the text to it directly, and then paste into the document. Last but not least, you may have the program read clipboard text aloud for you as well. So if you've ever wanted your computer to explain to you how to make a bomb from bleach...
This is such a great idea that's going to be abused.
It has to have the British AT&T accent.
Well, I'm just thinking after a while you're really going to get tired of some of these generated voices. I mean, it's going to be like porn for blind people where it's reading this exciting battle. And unlike, you know, some of the professionally produced audiobooks where they kind of get into the characters and then they cut his head off and life was wonderful all of the time. I mean, it's just, you know, it's not going to make any... It's going to be a little distracting. But, you know, it could work for some things. And if you're wanting to make audiobooks out of things on the internet that aren't exactly, you know, books, that's more the... Like, I'm thinking RSS feeds or blogs or, you know, the really disturbing fan fiction you see floating around Tumblr. If you want to make audiobooks of that, this is your program.
That's going to be amazing.
That's going on YouTube.
Yeah, it is.
Porn for blind people, right?
The other thing that I can see this being used for is, so sometimes after a long, stressful day, I can't always like turn my brain off. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the, I don't know, Microsoft server, like just the deployment book, you know, that big nasty book that you can download in PDF. That's like 5,000 pages.
Good
that explains
God, why I know where this is going.
Everything.
Why would you do this?
Well, that way you can put it on. And then lull yourself to sleep while learning.
You'll never wake up. You'll like go into such a coma.
That's a point.
Or worse, you'll wake up knowing that book inside and out. And why would you do that to yourself? So that, you know, that actually reminds me of a bit of a story. When I was taking classes in college, we had a Chinese immigrant professor. And it was a Microsoft Windows 2000 class. Yes, I'm old.
It sucks. Did she talk about potato sauce a lot?
No, he did not.
Okay.
But the way he would teach the class is he'd get the Microsoft, you know, certification books. I'm sure I still have a set of the Windows 2000 certification books because I never bothered to buy the next ones because like half of it is still relevant, right? But
I have an O'Reilly window yeah, Windows 2000 books. Oh no, these are from
the Microsoft
somewhere.
Publishing. I mean, I've got the box set and everything because that's what I had to have for my. Psycho said, "Kids don't use IceCast streams. Don't dash the dream, dude. Come on." Yeah, we're gonna have to start like simultasking on YouTube or something if we want to get new listeners. Or you know, Live Leak, or you know, at least if we did Live Leak, at least we get interesting people. YouTube, we get a bunch of kids. See, but anyways, back to the story. The way he would teach the class is he would have the book open and he'd say, "Okay, so what would you do if you wanted to set up a Radius server? You know, just or something like that, right?" He'd have the book open and he'd ask that. And, you know, at first, early on in the class, me being me, I'd just blurt out the answer. You just go into the Radius system and set it up. "No, that's not right." "What?" You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's just, he'd say, "No, that's not right." And then the six other guys in the class, we'd all be flipping through the book trying to figure out what the hell he's talking about. And I figured out fairly quickly what was going on, because I didn't bother to actually read the books. I played with the software. And so after like 10 to 15 minutes, he'd finally give up and read out the answer. And the answer would be the textbook answer from the book, right? The reason he said my answers were wrong was because they weren't exactly what was in the book. Like, he was expecting someone to memorize what was in the book and just recite it back to him, as opposed to actually have messed with the system and running, you know, running through the scripts or running the wizard or clicking on whatever and, you know, giving a real answer. No. He wanted you to quote the book back to him. So I quit answering in class because, like, fuck this. I'm not memorizing this book. I'll go play with the software and actually understand what it does. Thanks. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
And that class actually got a lot easier when I quit answering the question, because I would give the correct answer. He would say it was wrong, and then nobody else in the class could figure out what the answer was, because he just told everyone the correct answer was wrong because his English wasn't that good.
I hate professors like that. But, you know, if you can't do, teach.
Yeah. So, anyways, the last thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight is something I've not personally played with myself, but it is something I want to try at some point. It is an online little converter called from the ultimatesolver.com. This converter can convert music files, specifically MIDI files, into G-code for CNC milling machines. So each CNC milling machine that is driven by stepper motors, it is possible to create music. I want to do this with my 3D printers and see if it works.
It should.
It should. That's the fun part. So it's an online converting. Feed it a MIDI file, get a G-code file back, plug it into your 3D printer, and be amazed that your, you know, 3D printer is playing the Imperial March.
I wonder if the more axes you have with the CNC, if the more high fidelity the music will be.
Apparently I'm driving Psychros to drink. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I know where there's a really big six-axis CNC. I wonder if this will make beautiful, beautiful music.
So what you need to do is download Theme to Chips.
Oh, yes. The A-Team.
Yeah. Oh, the A-Team. Yes. And play that on the CNC machine and watch people lose their fucking mind because the head's about to crash.
Oh, that'll be amazing.
Because, you know, it don't give a shit about where the tool is. It's just running the motors to make noise.
I wonder what that would... I wonder what the theme to the A-Team would make.
The amazing part is it might come out with, like, this portrait of Mr. T.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That would be great if you could, like, hack up the G-code to play the theme to the A-Team and still draw a portrait, you know, of Mr. T. And I can't think of his real name now.
Mr. T?
No, it was, like, Bacchus something.
No, his name is Mr. T.
His name is Mr. T?
Yeah. Because if it's anything else, then the illusion is broken and the world will collapse.
Oh, it's not. I was wrong on what I thought his real name was. So the name Mr. T uses on his driver's license, because the government requires such things, even though we all know his actual name is Mr. T, is Lawrence Trueridard. At least according to Wikipedia.
That makes sense. That at least one of his names starts with T, and it's his surname. So therefore, Mr. T makes sense.
Yep. Okay, and that's where I got his name. B.A. Barkus was his name on the A-Team. That's where I got that.
Okay.
It makes more sense now. The bourbon is doing its job, I think.
Safest television show in history to work for. They had no accidents.
Really? They blew a lot of things up in that show.
Yep. Huh. They beat out Andy Griffith.
Wait. The A-Team beat out Andy Griffith for the safest TV show to work for.
Yep.
This is amazing and life-changing news.
Season one of Andy Griffith. They filmed a fist fight and people actually got hurt.
Versus the fight scene in every episode of the A-Team and nobody got hurt?
Yep.
Not only the fight scene, but not that they reported, anyways. But explosions and cars flipping over.
It seems if you're planning for the shit, you prepare for it. But if you're doing a low-budget comedy show and just have guys get on stage and fight, somebody forgets to pull a punch.
Guaranteed, Don Knotts. Yeah, Don Knotts was knocking bitches out.
Oh, Cycros, you just made me sad. Said the kids who don't know who Mr. T is. I pity the fool who doesn't know who Mr. T is. Come on.
And now the image in everyone's head is getting
someone. No, I'm just texting a child right now and asking who the hell's Mr. T. I'm going to prove you wrong. I have children in my phone.
Hold on, wait. I actually have someone sitting here in my office. You know who Mr. T is? Yeah. See, they know.
Good. The world is not completely gone.
That's not Mr. T. No, that was... Oh, God. I just asked who Mr. T was, and they're like, yeah, you know, it's like snapping to a Slim Jim, right?
No!
God! The Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah! A pity fool!
Yeah.
Wait, no, don't mix them up!
No, it's not the same guy.
Mr. T with the sunglasses and the hat.
No, it's actually not the same guy. Yeah, Google it.
Well, I can't think of a better way to end the show. Listen to the stream. We're all working on it.
Yeah.
Beer necking every Thursday. There's the subreddit, still the best way to get back at us, but I did just recently swap out the RC for one that looks better. If you don't know who Mr. T is, what the fuck, man? Google that shit.
Snap into a...
Oh, I can't get that sound clip fast enough. Can I get that before I close out the show?
Can you get what?
I need to get a slap into the Slim Jim wave and get it downloaded on the broadcast box so I can play it as I'm closing out the show. Oh, there's all kinds of stuff on here. There's the little Caesar's pizza. There's all kinds of stuff on here. Oh, is that the Miss Cleo sound? Sweet! Oh, the soundboard is getting a revamp. We're going to have Miss Cleo on here.
Yes, Miss Cleo, Macho Man Randy Savage, and Mr. T. All need to go on the soundboard.
Oh, yeah! They don't know who Miss Cleo is. Cycros, what is wrong with you? Quick, Syntax, ask the person in your office, do they know who Miss Cleo is?
Do you know who Miss Cleo is? That's a no.
Oh.
At least they tried with Mr. T.
We all know the correct answer is a computer recording of some black woman doing African voice. Come on.
Yeah. Well, see, and so the funny thing is the person here in my office, I have everything running through my headset, so they can't hear everything else that's going on.
That's probably a good thing.
It is. It could be. Yeah, she's the psychic. They're over here just Googling like a mad person.
Smoke weed every day.
They probably don't know who that is. Although, to be fair, I got called out on the show and couldn't remember who that was. So it's like...
Oh.
Oh, I'm going to have to download some of these.
At least they could have confused Mr. T with Ice-T. I would have almost accepted that. They're both black.
Ice-T's been on Rick and Morty lately, though, so they should know who that is. They're both black. Well... God.
The person in my office is my age. So there's no excuse. No excuse. Oh, Lord.
Oh, goodness. We need to wrap this shit up. It's getting
weird. I'm not sure if I'm sad about them not knowing about something awful.
Oh, Something Awful is amazing. But then again, so was Encyclopedia Dramatic.
At one point.
Well, yeah.
All right. I think I've read the closing thing. Yeah, we're just going to call it here. I'm going to start playing the closing sounds.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Thank you, Thighmaster.